إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما أما بعد فإن أصدق الحديث كتاب الله وخير الهدى هدى محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وشر الأمور محدثاتها وكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار الحمد لله we praise Allah we seek His assistance and we seek His forgiveness and we seek refuge in Allah from the evil within ourselves and from our bad deeds whoever Allah guides there is none that can lead him astray and whoever is led astray then there is no guide for him I bear witness that no god has the right to be worshipped other than Allah he is alone and has no partners and I bear witness that Muhammad is his slave and his messenger O you who believe fear Allah as you ought to be feared and don't die except as Muslims O humanity, fear your Lord who has created you from a single soul and created from it its mate and scattered from them too many men and women. And fear Allah for whom you demand your mutual rights and don't cut off relations with the wombs that bore you. Indeed, Allah is a raqib over you. O you who believe, fear Allah and say that which is correct in order that He may accept from you your deeds and forgive you of your sins. And whoever obeys Allah and His Messenger has achieved the greatest achievement. Amma ba'du. Certainly the most truthful speech is the book of Allah. And the finest guidance is the guidance of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the most evil of affairs are newly invented matters in this deen. And every newly invented matter in this deen is a bid'ah. And every bid'ah is a string. And every string is in the hellfire. We're continuing with Kitabul Imama from Imam al-Nasa'i rahimahullah. The chapter of being the Imam. And what is with that. And we're at the chapter of Babu Man Ahaqqa Bil Imama. Chapter who has the right, who has more right to be the imam. And before we mention the hadith, we just want to emphasize for those brothers who have missed last week's class, or for the brothers who were here at last week's class, that they do their best to either find out about what took place in last week's class and the people who knew, to spread that among the people of the Sunnah, because this is a serious point where we are deficient in. Our understanding of the Sunnah is this issue of the Imam. عن أبي مسعود رضي الله عنه قال قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يا أم القوم أقرأهم لكتاب الله فإن كانوا في القراءة سواء فأقدمهم في الهجرة فإن كانوا في الهجرة سواء فأعلمهم بالسنة فإن كانوا في السنة سواء فأقدمهم سنا ولا تأم الرجل في سلطانه ولا تقعد على تقرمته إلا أن يأذن لكم أو إلا أن يأذن لك And this hadith is authentic. Abu Mas'ud رضي الله عنه He says that the Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم says The one who should lead the people as the imam, referring to the salah, the one who should lead the people in the salah as the imam is the one who is most well read of the book of Allah. And if they are in their recitation equal, then the one who has made hijrah first. And if they're equal in the time that they made hijrah, then the one who has more knowledge of the sunnah. And if they're equal in their knowledge of the sunnah, then the one who is the oldest should lead the salat. And no one should lead the salat being the imam over a person in his own domain where he's a leader of. And no one should sit on a person's special chair except that he has the permission.
Here the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam shows us who has more right to lead the people in the salah, to be the imam, and that is the one who is most well read of the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That means the one who has memorized the most of the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the one who has the best tajweed. He knows the rules of reciting the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the one that has the best voice and his recitation of the Quran, the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is the one that should be chosen to be the imam, to lead the people in the salah. And if they're equal in their recitation, if the decision is between a group of people and they're all equal in their recitation, then the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, the one who has made hijrah first. And here we see, as the ulama of Islam explained, that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is showing the value of hijrah in this deen, and the importance of hijrah in this deen, of leaving the land of the mushrikeen and going to the land of the muslimin. And that this virtue of having made hijrah before the next person is a virtue that would sway the argument your way when it comes to leading the people in salah. And this issue of hijrah is important, and we had discussed it in one of our classes in 3 weeks. They were the ayat of hijrah and the ahadith of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam on hijrah, and the statements of the ulama on hijrah, and whoever wants to refer to that can, inshallah ta'ala. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, if they were equal in their hijrah and the time that they made hijrah. And here, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam isn't trying to say, well, he made hijrah a day before him, and that one landed the day before him. But the people who made it around the same time, and that in Islam, inshallah ta'ala, is not nitpicking things to that degree. And we should be aware of making Islam a tightrope, so tight and so finely detailed that no one could practice Islam. This is, of course, in general, inshallah ta'ala. If they're equal in hijrah, they all made hijrah about the same time. He came in this month, he came in the next month, he came in a couple days after him, he came in a week after him. But basically, they all came around the same time. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. He says, if they're equal in the time that they made hijrah, then the one who is most knowledgeable of the sunnah. And here the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is showing the importance of the sunnah. And we have mentioned some narrations of the Salaf al-Salih, of our righteous predecessors, concerning the sunnah, showing the importance of this sunnah in Islam. As Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he says that the one who is most knowledgeable of the Qur'an is the one who has the most knowledge of the sunnah, because the sunnah explains the Quran. And we see that in the statement and I forgot who was the scholar who said this, or it was said to him, I only want you to read the Quran to me, meaning don't read me the book of hadith, I want you to read the Quran to me. He says, I don't want to read you other than the Quran, and I don't want anything other than the Quran, except that I want the one who is most knowledgeable of the Quran, sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam. And he's referring to the ayah in Surah An-Nahl where Allah says, وَأَنزَلْنَا إِلَيْكَ الذِّكْرَ لِتُبَيِّنَ لِلنَّاسِ مَا نُزِلَ إِلَيْهِمْ. And we have revealed to you, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and we have revealed to you dhikr, the dhikr, the revelation of the Quran, so that you could explain it to humanity. And is there anyone of humanity more knowledgeable of the Quran than the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam? And this is the importance of knowing the sunnah, so that we can know the details of the Quran. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes many issues in the Quran general, like the salah. How will we have known that Maghrib salah is 3 raka'at after the sunset, and the first 2 raka'at are loud and the last raka'at is silent? What ayah in the Quran tells us that? Allah says, وَأَقِيمُ الصَّلَاةِ, and establish the salah. And the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam explained to us how to establish the salah. And there you see the one who is most knowledgeable of the Quran is the one with the most knowledge of the sunnah. Because if we were to read the verse وَأَقِيمُ الصَّلَاةِ, and to establish the salah, and it comes in the Quran often, who would know them, who would understand what Allah meant more from this than the one who knows the sunnah of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, to tell the people how to establish the salah? In times of fear, it's only 1 raka'ah. When you're traveling, it's 2 raka'ah. depending on if you're sick or if you're healthy. You might sit down, you might lay down. If you lay down, how do you make the movements with your eyes? And so on, as the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had explained in how to establish the salah. Suppose the weather is hot, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told us to delay the dhuhr a little bit until the day cools off a little bit. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he made a compulsion on the men to go to the masjid and to establish the salat in jama'ah. And he also told us, as a part of establishing the salat, if it's extremely cold or if it's raining and very muddy and the weather is bad outside, that the mu'adhin should tell the people, make your salat in the houses, make your salat in the houses. How would someone know that all of this is a part of wa aqimu salat? From the statement of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala, and establish the salat, except the one who has knowledge of the sunnah. Except for the one who has knowledge of the sunnah. So let's not find ourselves being among the people who deny the sunnah, as the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he spoke about them in a hadith that's authentic, and I'll paraphrase the meaning. Do not be found reclining on your couches in luxury, saying, whatever I find of the Qur'an, I'll take it. Indeed, what the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has made haram is just like what Allah made haram. So the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and in the other narration, indeed I have been given the Qur'an and that which is equivalent to it, or that which is like it, referring to the sunnah of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. So we ask Allah not to make us among those people who have almost left Islam, if they haven't left Islam, by thinking that Islam is the Quran without the sunnah. And here we see that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in a hadith that everyone accepts, even the people who don't accept hadith, accept this hadith, as they want to say, well, brother, the one with the most Qur'an, as they want to put the importance on the Qur'an. And they get it from this hadith of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, except that they don't want to take the rest of it. And this is what happened to the ummah who came before us. As Allah says, أَفَتُؤْمِنُوا بِبَعْضُ الْكِتَابِ وَتَكْفُرُونَ بِبَعْضُ. Or do you believe in some of the book and disbelieve in others, and other parts of the book, referring to the revelation or the deen or the Qur'an and the sunnah in general. If they're equal in the sunnah, then the one who is oldest in age. And here the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam is showing us the virtue of the people who have age, and that Allah's Messenger alayhi salatu wa salam have placed those people in front of the other people. So much so that he said, laysa minna, لَيْسَ مِنَّا مَنْ لَمْ يَرْحَمْ صَغِيرَنَا وَيُوَكِّرْ كَبِيرَنَا وَلَمْ يَعْرِفْ لِعَلِمَنَا حَقَّهُ أَوْ كَمَا قَالَ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَعَلَىٰ عَلَىٰ صَحْبِهِ وَسَلَّمْ. The Prophet said, he is not from among us the one who does not show mercy on the young and respect the elders and doesn't know the right of the knowledgeable one from among us. So here the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and this authentic hadith, he's showing the importance of respecting our elders. And the young brothers from among us, we need to know that this is a part of the deen in respecting our elders. And it's not necessary for us all the time to be so right in the eyesight of the older brothers, as we want to, show them we know something or to do them out or whatever. But we should be respectful to our elders, as the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has taught us that he is not from among us the one who doesn't show respect to the elders. So it's not something that, oh, if I get a chance I can be respectful to the elders, and if not, you know. No, that you must be respectful to the elders, as the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has taught us, and is showing that the older person would be given that virtue of leading the salat if they were equal in the other issues. Blessed him with his age from what he hasn't blessed anyone else with his age. Is this pertaining to the Muslims? No, it's not permissible for the Kafirs to lead us in the Salah. The hadith of the Messenger of Allah is saying us, Whoever does not show our youth mercy and respect our elders and show our knowledgeable one his due, then he's not from among us, from among the Muslims. This is in reference to the Muslims. From where? Assalamu alaikum. Are the brothers with us in Washington, inshallah?
Yes, we can hear you.
Allahu barak feek. Yes, so we see, inshallah, that
even if they try to expose you or see a deviance with you and the elders?
The brother's asking, even if they try to expose you to deviance or...
If they're elderly
and they expose you to deviance. It's the same thing as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us to do with our parents. To live with them bil ma'ruf. Live with your parents in kindness and being good to them. If they command you to do some shirk, just don't obey them. Just don't obey them, but live with them in this dunya and good. Okay, the elder person, he comes to, ya akhi, listen. I don't care what nobody say, the messenger, referring to the liar, he did something for us. Okay, you just sit there. You don't have, you're not going to follow him in that. You just sit there. If he wants to listen to you, and elder people, they give us a chance at times. If he gives you a chance, you'll explain. If he tell you, shut up, I don't want to hear it. Oh, okay. You're just not going to follow him in that. But we have to be respectful to our elders, and we can't use excuses to be disrespectful, because there's no excuse. Every time we disrespect our elders, then we're in sin. Every time we disrespect our elders, we're in sin. We're not going to follow them into deviance or into kufr, but we're going to respect them. And all of us, we should know, as we try to call our parents to Islam, may Allah guide them to Islam, we have the difficulty in calling them, but we still have to be respectful. Shut up, boy. I'm going to be quiet. I ain't leaving Islam. And I'm not ever going to say Islam isn't the truth. And I'm never going to tell her, you don't have to accept Islam if you don't want to. No, you have to accept Islam. And you have to die on this deen of Islam. And if you let me talk, I'm going to call you to Islam. If you let me talk, I'm going to call you to Islam. This is what we find in Islam, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. Then the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, and do not lead a person in the domain that he's in charge of. And this is all the way across the board. From a person in his house he's in charge of, a brother he may run his store, wherever someone is in charge, don't lead him in salah. No matter if you're more well read than him or not. When somebody is in charge, as the Prophet ﷺ is teaching us from the etiquettes of Islam, that's the one that leads the salat. Yes. Yeah, we're going to get to that, inshallah. So the Prophet ﷺ is showing us, when that one is in charge, all of the other stuff, the one who was most well read, the one who first made hijrah, the one who knows the most of the sunnah, the one who is the oldest, this don't have nothing to do with it when it comes to who house that is. He's 16 years old, don't know no Quran, whatever. That's his house, he in charge, you come in there, you hafiz of Quran, alim of the sunnah, made hijrah the first, the oldest one, that little boy who don't know nothing, he leads the salah. As the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam tells us, no one is going to lead a man in his domain where he's in charge. And don't sit in his special chair. I don't know, everybody doesn't have this, but some people, they have a special chair. Maybe sometimes we see it with the older people. They used to have a special chair. Whenever he comes in the house, don't drink out of my cup. Don't sit in my chair. That's my plea. Okay, those people of the household who have established that in their house, when you come in their house and you realize that's their spot, or it's told to you or whatever that that's their spot, don't sit in his spot. Let him be generous enough to you as his guest to invite you to sit in my special chair, drink from my special cup, or what have you. Except, as the Prophet ﷺ goes on to say, except if he gives you permission. Like we're saying, if he says, Tafadda, you can sit in my chair. Go ahead, please lead me in the salat. InshaAllah, bless us with your recitation. Or we like your recitation, please lead us in salat. Then, with those exceptions, it would be permissible as the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sahbihi wa sallam to lead it. And this is, in this hadith, we have to understand this hadith as the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has said it. And we see that he mentions those things, and then he comes down to say, don't lead a man in a place where he is in charge. And this causes a lot of fitna, and unfortunately it continues to happen. And I hope that we're the people, inshaAllah ta'ala, to stop this from happening among the Muslims, where the people just come in and just diss anybody who's in charge and take over because they feel that they're better. And even they may be not even be more well-read or more knowledgeable, just because, they feel they are, they just take over. Bab taqdimu dhawi sin, chapter putting forward the one who has the most age. عن مالك بن الحويرث رضي الله عنه قال أتيت رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم أنا وابن عم لي وقال مر وأنا وصاحب لي فقال إذا سافرتما فأذينا وقيما وليأمكما أكبركما. مالك بن الحويرث رضي الله عنه, he said, I came to the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam with a cousin of mine, and in another time he said with a companion of mine, and there's no conflict, inshallah ta'ala, as your cousin could be your companion too, and your companion could happen to be your cousin. So he said that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, when you two travel, then I command you to make the adhan and to make the iqamah, and to let the oldest one from among you two lead the salah. So here we see that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, and this hadith is giving virtue to the age. And as Imam al-Nasa'i rahimahullah, he's putting forth this chapter by itself. As we saw in the chapter previously, the virtue of the one with the age, if all other things are equal, to place them the one with the age above. And here we see by itself, as the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is giving the virtue over top of everything to the one who has the age. And this point we can't overlook in this deen of Islam, as the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has established it for us. Muhammad Nasir al-Din al-Albani hafizahullah, he's extracted from this hadith, as the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, I command you to make the adhan, and I command you to make the iqamah, and I command you to let the oldest one from among you two lead the salat. He says, as the Messenger of Allah ﷺ had commanded them to make the adhan and the iqamah, this shows that it is compulsory for the adhan and the iqamah to be made. That it is compulsory for the adhan and the iqamah to be made to establish the salat. This is, of course, for the first jama'ah. Whether you're in the masjid or you're outside of the masjid, you're traveling or whatever, when you want to establish the salat, you must make the adhan and the iqamah. The ulama from among the sahaba and the tabi'een and those who come after them, they have different narrations when it comes to the issue of establishing the salat after it's already been established. You come in right now, you haven't made salatul maghrib, you're going to go over there and make maghrib. They say if you make the adhan, or if you make the iqamah, or both of them, or one of them, or doesn't, or you don't make it at all of it's sufficient, because the adhan and the iqamah was made for that salat, and that's what counts. So if you're in another area, you're at a restaurant or whatever, you can't make it to the masjid, you're going to establish the salat, okay, you missed the jama'ah, and you missed the adhan, and you missed the iqamah, at that time you have to make the adhan and the iqamah to establish the salat. And the adhan is louder than the iqamah. And the adhan is louder than the iqamah. Chapter Babu Ijtima'u al-Qawmi fi mawdi'in hammin hamma fihi sawa. Bab Ijtima'u al-Qawmi fi mawdi'in hum fihi sawa. Chapter the gathering of the people in an area, and all of them are equal. عن أبي سعيد رضي الله عنه عن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم قال إذا كانوا ثلاثة فليؤمهم أحدهم وأحقهم بالإمامة أقرأهم. On the authority of Abu Sa'id, on the authority of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who said, if they are three, then let one of them lead the salah. And the one who has more right to be the imam is the one who is most well read of the Quran. Here Imam An-Nasa'i rahimahullah, he's trying to use this narration to show that if all of them are about equal and they are together and it's time for them to establish the salah, any one of them can lead the salah. But the one who is a little better than the rest of them, he would have more right to lead the salah. And here we see, as Imam An-Nasa'i rahimahullah, he's trying to show that if everybody's a little close to one another, or what have you, then it wouldn't make a difference to say that that one led the salah, and you say, no, well, he was more well-read than him, he knows two more surahs than the next one, or he memorized two more ayats of it than the next one. If it's around the same, then it is sufficient for one of them to lead it, and it's just that the one who knows the best has more right. Meaning it would be better for him to lead the salah, but if someone else led the salah, it doesn't take anything against that. Bab ijtima'u al-qawm wa fihim al-wali. Chapter, the people are combining and one of them is the leader. عن أبي مسعود رضي الله عنه قال قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم لا يؤم الرجل في سلطانه ولا يجلس على تكريمته إلا بإذنه. No one should lead a man in salat in his domain where he's in charge, and no one should sit in his special chair except by his permission. Here Imam al-Nasa'i rahimahullah, he's just emphasizing the point that came before, and that is that the person who is in charge should lead the salat, and no one should lead the salat above him, showing that it doesn't make a difference for the other affairs. Once you have someone there who's in charge, that person leads the salat automatically, unless he gives permission for someone else to lead the salat, and no one should go in front of that person except with his permission.
Yes.
I don't get the question, bro.
It doesn't make a difference.
When the Prophet ﷺ is saying that the oldest one should lead, it doesn't make a difference for the other affairs. As the Messenger of Allah said it, and this is how Imam al-Nasa'i rahimahullah is going down the line to show you that sometimes you have circumstances. And then you just place it. The ulama, I didn't see them in the explanation going into very deep detail. If it's only two, or if it's a small number, that person that's older, it's clear that he should be respected and he should be placed up. And if it's a lot of people, then it's a different issue, and then you go to looking for the one who's most well-read, and so on and so forth. I didn't see them bringing that, but we can see from the order of Imam al-Nasa'i that he seems like he's showing us the different circumstances. If you have a lot of people, you're going to look through all of these things to find the best one to lead the salat. If you have one that's just somebody's in charge, case closed, he's running it. If you have three of them, all of them are companions or whatever, they hang out together, then any one of them could lead the salah, and it didn't make a difference if one knew more than the other. However, if one knew more, it would be better. And then, of course, the Prophet ﷺ is just showing if you have something, and it seems that if it's that person is just older and it's clear he's just the oldest among them, that he should lead the salah, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. باب إذا تقدم الرجل من الرعية ثم جاء الوالي هل يتأخر. Chapter, if a man is leading the salah and he's from among the people who are not in charge. And then the person who is in charge comes, should the person who is not in charge, who has led the salah, back up to let the one who is in charge step forward to lead the salah. And he brings the hadith of Sahlan ibn Sa'din radiallahu anhu. It's a long hadith. I'll just try, inshallah, to bring the translation. And whoever wants to refer to the Arabic, this part of Sunan al-Nasa'i has been translated into English, and you can refer to it as it has the Arabic and the English with it. Sahlan ibn Sa'din radiallahu anhu, he said that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, it had come to him that Bani Amr ibn Auf, they had some problem amongst themselves. It had come to the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that Bani Amr ibn Auf, that they had some problems amongst themselves. So the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he went out in order to make up between them with the problem that they had amongst themselves. And then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was contained there in that area, helping them make up amongst themselves, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had commanded us to do, إِنَّمَا الْمُؤْمِنُونَ أَخْوَى فَأَصْلِحُ بَيْنَ أَخْوَيْكُمْ وَاتَّقُوا اللَّهِ. From Surah Al-Hujurat, believers, the believers are only brothers, so make up between your brothers. And this is good whenever we see that there's some division with the Muslims or some problems, that people should be quick to jump in and to make up between the Muslims, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commands us. Then the time for the salah came. So Bilal, he came to Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu anhu. The situation with the Prophet ﷺ is taking place in another area, and he got held up from coming to lead the salah because he's helping the people make up. Okay, back at the Prophet's masjid, or the normal area where the Messenger of Allah ﷺ will come to lead the salah, Bilal and Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, they're there. So Bilal, he comes to Abu Bakr and he says, Abu Bakr, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has been held up, and it's time for the salah. So why don't you lead the people in the salah? He said, okay. Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he said to Bilal ibn Rabah radiallahu anhu, okay, I'll lead them in the salah if you like me to. So Bilal radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he made the iqama, and Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he said, Allahu Akbar, and led the people in the salah, or began leading the people in the salah. And then the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came, and he was walking through the rows until he stood in his place in the row. And then the people began slapping their hands together like that. And Abu Bakr, he didn't look around when he made his salah. But when the people kept continuing slapping their hands together, clapping their hands together, Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he looked around to see what was up. And there was the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam motioning to Abu Bakr, Abu Bakr, no, go ahead, you lead us in the salah. Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, he raised his hands up and he praised Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and then he backed up a little bit until he got in the line radiallahu anhu, and then the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam stood in front of the line and led the people in the salat. And when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam finished the salat, he said to the people, Ya ayyuhan nas, ma lakum hina nabakum shay'un fi salati akhattum fi tasfiq, innama tasfiqu lin nisa man nabahu shay'un fi salatihi فليقل سبحان الله فإنه لا يسمعه أحد حين تقول سبحان الله إلا التفت إليه يا أبا بكر ما منعك أن تصلي للناس حين أشرت إليك قال أبو بكر ما كان ينبغي لابن أبي قحافة أن يصلي بين يدي رسول الله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم. And this is authentic. The Prophet ﷺ said, O humanity, what is wrong with you when something happens in the salat that you start clapping? Clapping is for the women. (Clears throat) whoever finds something in the Salat, that something is taking place that's not correct or out of place in the Salat, then let him say Subhanallah. Because no one will hear Subhanallah except that he will look around to see what's going on. And Abu Bakr, what prevented you from leading the people in Salah when I commanded or motioned you to lead the people in the Salah? Abu Bakr said, radiallahu anhu, it's not proper for the son of Abu Quhafa to lead the Salah in the presence of the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam. So here we see from this story, in this hadith, that which Imam al-Nasa'i, rahimahullah, is talking about in the beginning of the chapter, or the question that he's posing. If a person who's not in charge leads the Salah, and the person in charge comes, should the other person back up so that the person in charge can come and lead the Salah? And here we see this example from the hadith of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, where Abu Bakr backed up and he let the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam lead the people in the Salah. We also see some other points here in the Salah, and that is that the Mu'adhin, it is important for the Mu'adhin to have a nice relationship with the Imam of the Salah, meaning that the Mu'adhin has to be aware of the situation of the Imam. Is he going to be late? If he's on time, where is he at, and what have you. And not that the rest of the people are going to decide, okay, it's time for Salat, the Imam's not here. But the Mu'adhin, the one who is going to be aware of the Imam's whereabouts and what he's involved in, he's going to make the decision for the people, as we saw Bilal ibn Rabah radiallahu ta'ala anhu, who is clearly, obviously aware of it, as he said, the Prophet has been held up. As he knew that the Prophet ﷺ was going to handle a particular case. And obviously the time is for Salah and the Prophet's not here, that in helping those people take care of their case, that he was delayed. And then we also see that it's upon the Mu'adhin to know the people too. To know the one who, in the absence of the Imam, should be the one to lead the Salah because of his knowledge of the Book of Allah, the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, because of his age and his virtues among the people, so that the Mu'adhin could say, so and so, the Imam has let me know that he's going to be late, you should leave the Salat for the people. Or the Imam, he went to take care of something seriously, I think that he probably got tied up into it, otherwise he would have been here by now, I tried to ring him, I didn't catch him, or what have you. So here we see the important position of the Mu'adhin. And I'm asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He bless us with Mu'adhin like the Mu'adhin of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Bilal ibn Rabah radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Because this is serious. For a long time we've been trying to establish Mu'adhin for the Salah, and alhamdulillah the brothers who you hear often who call the Adhan, they've been doing a good job, alhamdulillah, and they've been on top of their job. But we can see every now and then for some of the Salat that anyone or everyone might have to call the Adhan. And we remember a couple of times when I came in for the Salat, waiting for the Iqam and everybody's looking around, there was no Adhan. And then the Adhan has to be made. So we had covered in the purification of the souls the virtues of the Mu'adhin. I think it was in that series or one of the series in our classes to show the reward of the Mu'adhineen on Yawm al-Qiyamah. And the Mu'adhin of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Bilal ibn Rabah, was rewarded Jannah. And that this should be an encouragement for some of the people to try to perfect the rest, how to say the Adhan properly, and then to be mindful and knowledgeable of the times of the Salah, so that they can be here and be among the Mu'adhin to get the reward that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has said for the Mu'adhin on Yawm al-Qiyamah. Also, we see here that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said that clapping is only for women. We're looking at the context of when the Prophet ﷺ said it, and they had did it in Salah. And the Prophet ﷺ didn't say, don't clap. clap in salat. But the Prophet ﷺ said clapping is for women. And this is show in general the men shouldn't be clapping. This is from the characteristics of the women. This is from the characteristics of the women. As the Messenger of Allah ﷺ said, clapping is only for women. And if someone finds something in the salat, he should say, Subhanallah. Subhanallah. In order to let the imam know he made a mistake in something, or something is happening in the masjid, or whatever, turn around and find out what's going on. As we see that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam has showed us. Also, in the ulama, they explain from this hadith that if that person who was leading the salat and the imam came and he backed up and the imam took his place and led the salat, that this is perfectly permissible, and it wasn't only for the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, but it's also for the rest of the ummah if it takes place. And this goes for the opposite way, and I forgot that hadith and I wanted to mention it to the brothers. If the imam breaks his wudu or something happens and the imam has to go, and he motions for someone to leave the salat, that person should step up and continue where the imam left off, and the rest of the believers should fill the gaps in and continue making salat as if nothing happened. And this part of this change in the salat of the imam, or this little movement in the salat, that there's no problem, as we see that this has taken place during the time of the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. And this is for sure how we see that Islam is a real deen, and that it deals with our lives. And no one should be as foolish as to keep continuing to say, that was 1400 years ago, brother. Here we see that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam, they took into consideration that which takes place among the human beings. وَمَا كَانَ رَبُّكَ نَسِيَّ. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in Surah Maryam, and your Lord is not forgetful. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is aware that things are going to change, times, people, and what have you, and He sent you the final and complete deen to be applicable through all of those changes. And that's the deen of Islam, alhamdulillah. Yes. Yeah, this is another point. I have mentioned it one day, and it needs to be mentioned often. And sometimes, because of the aggressiveness of the brothers, I'm a little shy. mentioning this hadith from Sahih Muslim, where the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, those people who are closest to me should be those people with the best intellect, showing those people with the most knowledge of the Book of Allah and the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. And like I'm saying, I hope that the brothers take heed to this. And I remember when Dawood, he used to be the imam, sometime I might be giving the lesson, Dawood would come in to lead the salat, the brothers pushed me out of the ranks until I'm the last one. Not that I wanted to be the one there, but this is from Islam. And that those people who we know amongst us, they have the recitation of the Quran, the brothers, and I'm not saying don't be keen to get the first row, but also be keen at not letting that brother who knows the Quran be behind you. Here you go, akhi. Pull that brother up. So that if the imam makes a mistake, that brother will be right on the set to correct him. Sometimes you make a mistake, everybody shouting, and the imam, he doesn't even know what's being said. As opposed to if the brothers who have the most Quran, they're right there in the front, the brothers in the back, they don't have to say anything. You know, just like today when I made a mistake in Surah Al-Fatiha, as everybody he's thinking in the Salat sometimes, and I'm thinking of the Salat, the Prophet ﷺ says, let one of you who is most well read of the Quran lead the Salat. And then Fatiha is saying they, and the Hadith is saying you, and I'm going through one thing and reading that, and it came out. And you see, everybody's quick to recite Surah Al-Fatiha that they know it. This issue of correcting the imam isn't to show that who knows the recitation of the Quran, those people who we know it would be in the front row to correct the imam. So that's important for the people to be mindful also when they're trying to catch the first row, is to know that the brothers who are more well read of the Quran, that you should give them their place in the front row. As the Messenger of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, that those people with the most knowledge shall line up behind me. There was one other point from the Salat, from this hadith that we can benefit from, and that's where Abu Bakr raised his hand. And the ulama are showing from this we see that raising your hands in dua is from Islam. And it's unfortunate that we have to say that, but we'll say it, that it's raising your hands in dua is from Islam. And the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam says in the authentic hadith of Abu Dawud and At-Tirmidhi, إِنَّ رَبَّكُمْ تَبَارَكُ وَتَعَالَى حَيٌّ كَرِيمٌ يَسْتَحْيِي مِنْ عَبْدِهِ إِذَا رَفَعَ يَدَيْهِ إِلَيْهِ أَنْ يَرُدَّهُمَا صَفْرًا. The Messenger of Allah sallam says, indeed your Lord, تَبَارَكُ وَتَعَالَى, blessed and exalted is He, is حَيٌّ كَرِيمٌ, that He's shy and He's noble and generous, and He's very shy from His servant to have him raise his hands up to him and then turn him down empty handed. And this is the hadith of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, showing us to raise our hands when we make dua to Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, and that this is a part of the etiquette of dua. Bab Salatul Imam Khalfa Rajulun Min Ra'iyatihi. Chapter, the Imam making salat behind someone who he's with. عن أنس رضي الله عنه قال آخر صلاة صلاها رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم مع القوم صلى في ثوب واحد متوشحا خلف أبي بكر رضي الله تعالى عنه. أنس رضي الله عنه, he said that the very last salat that the Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم made with the people, يرحمك الله, he made it in a garment that he wrapped around himself, and it was behind Abu Bakr al-Siddiq radiallahu anhu. And here Imam al-Nasai rahimahullah is just showing that it's permissible for the Imam to make salat behind someone else. It's permissible for the Imam to make salat behind someone else. And we also see something from this hadith, and I like to point out every time that we see it, that here is Anas ibn Malik radiallahu ta'ala anhu, the companion of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, showing us about the Prophet alayhi salatu wa sallam. As the Prophet didn't say alayhi salatu wa sallam, he didn't say, the last salat I made before I die with the people, Abu Bakr led me in the salat. As no one knows when he's going to die, as they have in the book written by Moses in the Bible, he said Moses died in such and such of a land, and no one knows where his death is. Moses wrote that book. Allahu Akbar Kabira. This is what they wrote with their own hands and attributed to the Prophet. And this is our deen that we've learned from the companions of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and to show the important place in this deen, and that we understand this deen from the understanding of the companions of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, because they was with him alayhi salatu wa sallam, and they narrated to us that which they saw from the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah made the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wa sallam the finest example. What did he do so that we can know he's the finest example? As the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, yes, he said what he said alayhi salatu wa sallam, but other things he did to show us. As we were mentioning the other day, that the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam, he showed the believers how to fight jihad by raising his sword high and going out to fight the disbelievers. And the companions, they used to say, when the battle got tough, we used to seek protection behind the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. How do we know that the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam was that courageous? How do we know that he was leading them in the battles of jihad, that he was in front of them? Because the companions of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, they showed us what they told us, what the Prophet did. So no one should underestimate in his worship of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala, that we are in need of the understanding of the narrations of the companions of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who narrate to us what the Prophet alayhi salatu wa sallam did. And we know that his sunnah is what he said and also what he did. And is there anyone who has seen what the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did? Then how can you do what he did? Like when he tells us, Sallu kama ra'aytumuni usalli, make salat the way you see me make salat. This is the statement of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Who's seen the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam make salat so he can say, I'm making salat like the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? No one can say he's seen him. Okay, tell me how you're going to practice that statement of the Messenger of Allah alayhi wa sallatu wa sallam, except that you take the narrations of the companions of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who detailed, we made salat with the Prophet alayhi wa sallatu wa sallam, we saw him do this, we saw him do that, we saw him do this, sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam. عن عائشة رضي الله عنها أن أبا بكر صلى بالناس ورسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم في الصف. And this is authentic. وعائشة رضي الله تعالى عنها, she said that Abu Bakr, he led the people in salah and the Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم was behind him. باب إمامة الزائر, chapter the visitor being the imam. Chapter the visitor being the imam or leading the salah. عن مالك بن الحويرث قال سمعت رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يقول إذا زار أحدكم قوما فلا يصلين بهم. The Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم says, if any one of you visits a group of people, then do not lead them in salah. If any one of you visit a group of people, then do not lead them in salah. And this is the narration of Imam al-Nasa'i, and I wanted to bring a fuller narration of this hadith as Abu Dawood and also Imam al-Tirmidhi, they bring this. And I'm going to use this book, Mishkat al-Musabih, with the explanation of Ali al-Qari, and it's called Mirqat al-Mafatih, and it's a valuable book, alhamdulillah. He brings the whole story as he says, عن أبي عطية العقيلي قال كان مالك ابن الحويرث رضي الله عنه يأتينا إلى مصلانا يتحدث فحضرت الصلاة يوما قال أبو عطية فقلنا له تقدم فصلي قال لنا قدموا رجلا منكم يصلي بكم وسأحدثكم لما لا أصلي بكم سمعت رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يقول من زار قوما فلا يأمهم وليأمهم رجل منهم. أبو عطية الأقيلي رحمه الله said that Malik ibn al-Huwayrith رضي الله عنه, he used to visit us in the area where we used to make salah, and he used to narrate hadith to us. Then one day he was there at the time of the salah. So Abu Atiyya, he said, go in front and lead us in the salah. So he said, no, you get someone from among the people, from among you people, and have him lead you all, lead us in the salah. And I will tell you why I won't lead you in the salah, because I heard the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam say, whoever visits a people, then don't lead them in salah, and let a man from among them lead them in the salah. And here we see that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam showed, even if the person is the most knowledgeable, that he should let the other people lead the salah, as we see that he used to visit those people in order to teach them the hadith of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. However, when the time of salah came, he wanted a person from among them, because the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, whoever visits a people, then don't lead them in salah, and let a person from among them lead them in the salah. This is what we have time to offer today. Wa sallallahu wa sallam wa baraka ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam. If there are any questions in relationship to tonight's class, we can take them now, inshallah ta'ala. And if not, do the brothers have any questions from Washington?
If there was any good, then it's from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yes.
Hey, ma'am. From Washington.
Just a minute, Akhi. This is why I was trying to say that we should have people, first of all, that are going to be the muezzin that come here on time so that you don't have that. Let's get that first down. We have to have brothers that are serious about Islam so that they can be a muezzin. Now, I encouraged a brother and he was here, and I would have made an example of him if he would have remained, that he knows how to call the adhan, alhamdulillah. He has a nice voice for the adhan. And we just can't get him here to be regular enough to call the adhan. May Allah strengthen him. This is what we need. And this is Islam. Now, if we're going to be weak and don't practice Islam, what should we do? We have to fear Allah as best we could. This is the question that you're asking. And this goes for everything. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala calls us to practice Islam and enter into Islam wholeheartedly, and we don't do that, what should we do? All we can do is fear Allah as best we could. Because there's nothing else we can do. Yes, sir. The brother is asking about if a visitor comes, the Prophet said, whoever visits the people, then don't lead them into Salah. He said, does this go for Jumu'ah? As we know that people are guests and they come in for Jumu'ah and they lead the Salah. The ulama, wa jazakallahu khairan, they add in the explanation of this hadith that it also, that the scholars of hadith, they also understand that if they allow you and they give you permission to lead the Salah, then it's okay. Okay, you're visiting the people, and the people force you. Akhi, please leave the salah. Jazakallahu khaira. You're our guest. Alhamdulillah. We want to listen to your recitation. Please lead us in salah. You tell them, I would lead you into salah, but this hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he says, yeah, I'm aware of that hadith, but please lead us in the salah. Okay, if he gives you the permission, then the ulama, they say that there is no problem in it. The ulama, they say that there's no problem, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. Yes. Yeah, the brother is saying that maybe there's is there a possibility that the Prophet ﷺ is saying this because the one that's visiting, he's going to be traveling and he's going to shorten their prayer, he's going to shorten the salah, and that maybe the Prophet ﷺ wanted to evade this, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. I don't know, you know, I didn't find the ulama saying that, and we see from the other examples that the Prophet ﷺ, he led the people in the salah when he was traveling, and he just told the people, listen, I'm making the salah turaka'at because I'm traveling, and this is the way you do it. Everyone who's not traveling, stand back up and complete their salah for raka'at. And we also know from Uthman ibn Affan radiallahu ta'ala anhu, when he made hajj, and he felt that the Muslims were large in numbers, and that he made the salah when he was traveling for raka'at in order not to confuse the people who have newly embraced the Islam. And this happens sometimes, as I remember one day at the prison, we were traveling and we led Salatul Isha, and I was trying to convince the Imam, please leave them in Salat. And I led the Salat and I was unaware. I just said, Salaamu Alaikum Rahmatullah, Salaamu Alaikum Rahmatullah. And everybody behind me said, Assalamu Alaikum Rahmatullah, Assalamu Alaikum Rahmatullah. And I said to myself, Allahu Akbar Kabira. Okay, the brothers maybe just recently accepted Islam, they weren't aware of this. And that the people there who's leading them in Salat, of course, is going to be the most knowledgeable one among them. And he should be aware of their situation in order to either tell the person, listen,
remind the people of this point, or I haven't told the people this point, and he should lead the salat, or what have you, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. Let us try to take this last question from the brothers from Washington, and then we'll have to end it for the salat, inshallah.
Yes, Imam, we have two questions. One is that when you're about raising the hands, is second question is what establishes when the prayer is shortened, the traveling prayer.
If you're traveling, shorten your salah. And if you're not traveling, don't shorten your salah. When are you traveling? When you say you're traveling. When you're not, and when you are, shorten it. Otherwise, make your salah as the way it's supposed to be. As there's nothing too detailed, and the best thing that the Salaf have come up with is they say, if you have left the city and the houses are behind you, and maybe the best example, and Allah knows best our situation, when you hit the highway, you're on your way. You left the city, and you're on your way for your journey, shorten your salah. Anyway, each person has to look into his circumstances and to see, is he traveling or not? If he is, shorten. If he's not, don't. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. Your other question, Akhi?
Other question is about the raising of the hands when you make the dua.
Yes.
It's at the conclusion of the salat when you make the dua. Like, for example, Imam is completes the khutbah and then he's making the dua.
Yes.
Appropriate to raise their hands at this time, and the people when they finish making whatever, and then they raise their hands.
Okay. If you or anyone else is making dua, from the etiquette of dua is to raise the hands. If you or anyone else is making dua, from the etiquette of Islam is to raise your hands in dua, if you want to. And if you don't, you can still make dua without raising your hands. This is from the etiquette of Islam, and it's been prescribed that we can raise our hands when we make dua. That's each individual when he wants to make dua. Now you're getting into some other detailed issues of making dua as a particular case that you're asking about. And that particular case, I've heard ulama say it's a bid'ah to raise your hands in the khutbah, during the khutbah when the imam is making dua. As the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, he didn't make dua when he didn't raise his hands when he made dua during the khutbah, except when he made dua for rain. There are some other people that say we find no harm in raising the hands when the imam makes dua, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. Whatever you feel that the ulama have as the strongest position, you can follow that. You were going to add to his question? Yeah, this is what the brother was asking, and this is what I was, thought I was trying to answer. The issue is, the brother is just going to repeat the question, is there a certain amount of distance? No. Is there a certain distance? No. When are you traveling? When you said you're traveling. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best, as Allah tells us, بَلْ الْإِنسَانُ عَلَى نَفْسِهِ بَصِيرًا. And a person knows best about his own self. You're traveling or not, you're trying to shortcut or shortchange Allah's deen, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best, and he's going to hold us accountable. Sallallahu wa sallam wa baraka ala nabiyyina Muhammad, walhamdulillah, wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.